The aching knowledge of aging comes in pinpricks that ripple out slowly when I see a photograph taped to the refrigerator door, just as it has been every day since daycare sent it home with us years ago. My youngest, before he could walk, bald head and aqua bib. I don't mean pain of watching a child grow up. Instead, I mean pain of deep understanding that particular pleasures are finished. I will never again have babies because that option is off the table. Just like becoming a ballerina or an astrophysicist, my future life will never again include cuddling my baby in my arms. I hope and anticipate grandchildren, Machu Picchu, the Ganges, backwoods hiking with my daughter. I understand that some of these I will never do, but I don't yet know which those are. And this leaves a mystery, something to move toward. As long as the list of what I might do still exists, I still am. Death is a long series of those pains, of opportunities closing down one after another, until the list is only one, and we do. That's a poem called Baby Picture by Catherine Perry. I heard it at a reading a few weeks ago, and it poem haunted me, stuck, because I'm getting older, so there. But also, I think because it tickled an old memory in my head, it took me a long time to connect that poem to the novel it was reminding me of, but I found it at last. It's this raucous, wildly inventive experimental novel called High Drama in Fabulous Toledo by Lily James. It came out in the late 90s, but I've never forgotten its opening image either, and I'm going to read it to you. I think you'll see why it pinged with that poem in my head. "Life is like a long cafeteria line," she thought. "You choose one salad, rejecting all the others. You choose one vegetable, one meat, or a pasta side. And you choose a dessert, a drink, and that is that. Some sad people seem to choose the thing that they want least, because that is at least certain. Others linger on the choice, deliberating carefully between the chicken and the fish. Others seem to know exactly what will taste the best, floating along, gracefully selecting and consuming, out of ignorance or wisdom, what is right." Ellen liked to think that she had walked along the line with eyes closed and now stood in front of the cash register, staring at her tray, and it was all foreign, all decided by whim, nothing considered, but all uncontrolled, hasty, final. There's a finiteness in our number of choices in both these works that speaks to a ruthless truth about life. And the older I get, the truer it gets and the less I like it. It also reminded me how much I hate eating in a cafeteria. I avoid it whenever possible. It makes me very nervous and upset. I feel the pressure of people waiting for me to choose and get out of their way. And there are all these things crowded up on each other. If you don't grab a dessert at the front, well, you're past desserts and that's over. If you get a Caesar salad, that's the salad you're going to have because in two more steps you're past that and there's a flow to the line and it doesn't stop. Choosing the fried shrimp isn't just choosing to eat fried shrimp. It's unchoosing meatloaf. It's unchoosing baked tilapia, period. You have fried shrimp, and that shrimp connects to your other choices. If you're not going to be having meatloaf, you're not going to be having mashed potatoes. And if you don't choose, you get shoved along the line anyway, and it doesn't stop, and you get nothing. Last week, I was up north in Alto, Georgia, with my friend Wendy Ballou, and lunchtime came, and I said, "Where do you want to eat?" And she laughed and said, "You want to eat at the Stew and Queue because that is the place that there is here to eat." When we got there, it was cafeteria-style Southern food. It was crowded, and I panicked, and I whizzed past the entrees, and I finally just asked for a vegetable plate, and they had all these things that Southerners call vegetables, like field peas and lima beans and mac and cheese, but I'm supposed to be watching my carbs, so I didn't take any of those. I somehow got to the end of the line with broccoli in faux cheese sauce and creamed corn, and I don't like either of those things. There was literally nothing on my plate I wanted to eat except the green beans. So I grabbed a foil-wrapped thing as I went by, and it turned out to be a cat head biscuit, which last time I checked has a couple of carbs in it. Metaphor panic got me. This morning, I was drafting one of the last three chapters in Origin Story, and I started thinking again about that poem, about that novel, about eating in the cafeteria line, options coming off the table. Maybe this is why I'm a novelist. I've been working on this book for well over a year, and remember, a few weeks ago, I told you that I had come close to the end and realized I was writing toward a wrong end? At that point, I'd chosen all my characters. I had put all my themes onto the plate, but I knew I had it wrong. There was a more interesting book hidden inside the book, wiped out by some of the choices I'd made along the way. At that point, I didn't have room on my tray for adding people or ideas. Everything was present. So I just went back to the beginning of the line. I dumped off everything that wasn't interesting, kept the good stuff, made new choices, reinvented the whole tray. Sometimes art does not imitate life. Sometimes art is just plain better. About Slow Food Atlanta. Slow Food Atlanta is a member-supported nonprofit dedicating to fostering the preservation of diverse Southern food culture and traditions while advocating holistic alternatives to the industrialized food system. Well, they've started the Reading at the Table Book Club, whose purpose, they say, is to connect people who enjoy food-related literature, both fiction and nonfiction. The club meets at 6:30 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month. Everyone who attends is asked to bring an appetizer to share and enjoy an evening of lively literary food discussion. In June, they'll be meeting at Ponce City Market, which is at 675 Ponce de Leon Avenue, on the 14th, that's the second Tuesday, from 6:30 to 7:30. Hope to see you there. For WABE, I'm Jocelyn Jackson.